Welcome, welcome.
This is a place where the bananas are cuckoo. And the people are... I'm so tired right now. I'm loopy. Making noises into a microphone. This is a podcast. And this podcast, believe it or not, is available anywhere podcasts can be found.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, you got your iTunes, your Stitcher, your fucking Google Play, your fucking radio.com. Yeah, that's a thing.
Who knew?
You'd be surprised at all the fucking, like, there's the four you know, and then there's like 100 other podcast providers that I'm like, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah. Up. More people. I want to reach those people. Yeah.
I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined, as always, by Kate Ganey.
Hello.
Doing a take to the camera, not realizing this is an audio medium.
That's just for you.
Thanks.
Yep.
So, if you've listened to before, you already know this. But if you're new to the show, welcome. Go back and listen to all the other episodes. And me and Kate are... exceptional people, but we are not
truly
trained therapists or doctors. We don't have quote unquote any business telling people what to do.
We are full of shit.
Yeah. have you seen the new Muppet Show?
I haven't yet.
There's a I guess he's a gopher who's the lawyer. So, like, okay. They'll do a bit where, like, they do, like, kind of, not stunts, but they do, like, dangerous stuff in this one thing where it's, like, Muppet Labs. It's Bunsen and Beaker, and they do something dangerous. But before that, you see Kermit with this lawyer who is a fucking gopher. And he's like, here's a letter. Here's a message from our lawyer. And the gopher's like, please do not do what you're about to see. I feel like that's what I need right now.
Just a little gopher to show up and be like, hey.
Yeah.
Disclaimer.
Yeah. We don't know what we're talking about. We're just talking about ourselves and our own lives.
Exactly. Personal experience.
Fuck yeah. I got nothing but it some days. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got 37 years of fucking belly aching, show boating and hot dogging. When I get tired, I start to talk like Macho Man Randy Savage. Excuse me.
Good to know. Oh, boy.
Today's episode, imagine if this were live, what a shit show it would be.
Imagine.
Thank God I get to edit shit.
Praise be.
Today's episode is about stuff that moves and inspires us. And I took this was your idea, which was a great idea. I took it.
Hey, thanks.
I took it fairly loosely. There's at least one thing on my list that I can't explain it. It's just on my list.
We'll figure it out.
Moves me.
It's just a thing.
I've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got six things.
I have 7.
Whoa, that means you should go first and last.
Oh, boy. All right, so I'm going to start it off with something like super fucking hippy-dippy and whatever, but nature.
Yeah.
I take great comfort in my smallness and in the universe's vastness when I'm able to kind of just get myself into that space where I can kind of acknowledge the smallest of my own problems and everything like that. I think it opens me up to be a bit more creative and to be a bit more open to positive outcomes, because I realize if the the universe is this big and I'm this small, uh-huh. right? My negative thought is one tiny blip in that universe, and how many other positive things are out there.
Yeah.
You know, so I draw inspiration and motivation from that. That gives me will to live on days that I struggle to find it.
So when you say nature, it sounds like what you connect to is the vastness of the cosmos. But is there a do you mean tactile nature like grass? Or do you mean just the nature of existence?
Well, I suppose it's kind of both. So I need, personally, to detach myself and to be out in nature to tap into that, that vastness. I understand that nature is around me at all times, that I am part of nature, that, you know, I get it. I get that no matter where I am, I should be able to tap into that. But for me, it's a lot about grounding and actually physically being in this space, like listening to water or getting my hands or feet in the dirt, or, you know, kind of like immersing myself in something natural, something that isn't man-made, not sitting in a chair, but sitting on the ground, or, you know, just kind of being more primal.
I get it, but I'm literally the opposite of that.
Yeah.
I like man-made things. I like cities. I like things that have the patina of humanity on it. We touched it. We formed it. We did it. I like indoors. I do not prefer outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer air conditioning. I prefer
air conditioning.
If there is a heaven for me, it would be like a library with like nice leather chairs and like the smell of mahogany. And just like books.
Many leather bound books.
Yeah. And just like a coffee machine that never runs out. And I can sit there and drink my coffee. And
just enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy man-made things, but I think there's something about, tapping into like my primal nature and tapping into what's untouched. And, I don't know, it gives me hope, I guess. Cause I think I've become resentful of a lot of man-made things, both physical things and structures and stuff, because of the impact on my life and the lives of people I care about and whatever. So I think getting to what I think of as some sort of more pure state where it's just me and trees, or just me and some water, or whatever. I'm able to connect a little bit more, I think, with a larger purpose. I think that's my version of prayer, or, you know, whatever you would call it.
Nature. What do I got?
What do you got?
Black Lives Matter and Me Too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, one is about systematic racism, especially as it deals with police and law and order structures. And the other is about systematic sexism and sexual assault and the cover-up of sexual assault and rape culture. So they're different things, yet they are both representative of the same thing, which is the people that used to have ubiquitous power are finally being seen and brought into light and... Mm-hmm. Can't just get away with everything they used to get away with.
That's right.
And that's inspiring.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at like second wave feminism as being about women being able to really have careers, maybe like the end of that process is making sure now that women can have careers and not have somebody they work with fuck with them.
Right.
Assault them, treat them like shit. Because of their gender, touch them, you know, whatever creepy thing it is.
Yeah, there are steps. The work's not done.
Right.
And that is inspiring to see that, you know, people recognize that and do the work.
Right. I mean, when you get into the minutia of it, it can be depressing, but I think, you know, the best disinfectant is light. And it's just a big, bright light that's not going away. And
yeah,
That's inspiring.
It's true.
And it,
I agree.
Yeah. And I think it should have an effect on everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've talked before that I think that I've been creepy to women. And I think the Me Too movement helped me get to that evolution of being, like, thinking about my action.
Right.
Same thing just, with... Yeah, sorry.
No, that's fine. Just, yeah, just having a light shed on those things, just having those things spoken about publicly and, you know, articles being shared and whatever, just the exposure is enough to make a person question their own behaviors, the things they've enabled, you know. And it's certainly, if nothing else, it's a wave of awareness.
Right. You know, even like, and racism too. I had a racist moment a couple years ago that I always think about because it was a true moment of, you know, I think I'm this like liberal person who's totally woke. And, but I still have racism inside me. Racism is in our DNA of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what happened was I used to work at a place where around the corner from where I work, was a cafe where I get my coffee every day. And all the people that work there, English was their second language. They all spoke Spanish to each other. So I'm guessing that they are from some Latinx descent. So anyway, if you know me, you know I wear stupid t-shirts. That's my thing. And I had on a Mean Girls t-shirt that said, "She doesn't even go here." And the guy in the coffee shop was like, "Huh, cool, Mean Girls." And I was shocked by that. And that was my racist moment. Because why? A man, right. What do I think he does? What do I, this is a 20-year-old movie. Because English isn't his first language, I imagine that what, he only watches telenovelas?
Like, right, or that he doesn't live in the same exact world as you do. Yeah.
It was,
where Mean Girls is an incredibly popular film.
Right. Just complete ignorance.
Yeah.
True ignorance on my part. And it made me think, like, yeah, like, we've all got places to go. We've all got, I mean, I'm sure there are people that are way more enlightened than me, but we still all have places to fucking evolve.
Yeah. Just the idea that we still have things that we need to learn and unlearn.
Unlearn is
enough of a motivation to keep going, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you got?
All right, let's see what else I got. Mine aren't as, like, pinpointed as yours. They're a little bit more, like, mine abstract.
Mine get way stupider.
Fantastic. So we kind of talked about this a little bit the other day. So... one of my biggest ways of, like, coping and getting through and reminding myself that there are other things to live for and whatever is taking in art. Mm-hmm. So taking in art that's, especially art that's created by other people I know are suffering with depression, anxiety, any other, you know, seeing that there is still beautiful things that can come out of that. So that's something that's very personal, I feel like, because I struggle with being a creative person and being depressed and being anxious and, you know, wanting to share the things I create and being, you know, overwhelmed by the idea of that and seeing other people who potentially feel a lot like I do.
Yeah.
Create and share beautiful things and seeing those be well received and whatever. Gives me hope.
Yeah.
It gives me hope that there's a reason or a meaning to suffering because it does enable you to create really beautiful things sometimes.
Yeah. Go back and check out our episode on our mental health heroes. Cause a lot of those people are people that or create stuff that we consume.
Yeah. No,
I totally feel for you on that level.
Yeah. Yeah. I, the other day it was Eternal Sunshine. I was just feeling, you know, kind of ambiguously sad. And sometimes taking in something like that just helps me externalize It helps me attach that feeling to something. It lets me, you know, cry for that or whatever while releasing for myself.
The release is very important.
Yeah. Can't hang on to that shit. Whatever makes it come out and, you know, helps you release it in a positive way.
Yeah,
it's like necessary. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely necessary. All right, my next one is the old and or fat person at any gym. God bless you. You belong here more than the rest of us. I am inspired by your effort. I'm inspired that you're here. I'm inspired that you are ignoring any young moron who might be putting any sort of mocking vibes towards you. I think to mock somebody who's out of shape at a gym because you're in shape is the stupidest thing in the world.
So fucking low. It's right. So low.
And when I see somebody at a gym trying, and you could see they're trying, and they, you just see the struggle. You know the struggle.
Yeah. You know, this isn't a person who's just getting up and doing their routine. This is a person who's starting something new.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Right. And I just, I don't know. I'm so inspired by that. I find it so moving in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they are starting something new. Maybe they're trying to get their life in order, you know, or maybe they aren't, but they fucking, they're just, you know, they fuck up. They eat something that they shouldn't eat or whatever, like I do, and then they still go to the gym. They still force themselves to try.
They're here today.
Yeah, the fucking effort. The effort is so clutch.
Yeah, I like watching people do amazing things. It's not exactly the same. It's not, you know, I'm not saying that, like, you know, whatever. I like watching people who you don't expect to be doing something do that thing.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I could also put, like, the older student in a college course.
I love that.
I had some courses where I had people in their 60s hanging out in a class amongst a bunch of, like, 18-year-olds. And again,
so inspired by that.
People would make fun of them, and I'd be like, what's to make fun of? They're fucking here doing it.
Yep. And especially, like, for me, I feel like I probably have a weird preoccupation with age and with thinking, like, oh, it's too late to do things. So I'm always so inspired when I see somebody going after something that's, like, a long-term goal past a certain age. I'm like, good for you for, like, thinking you're going to be alive that long, because I just think I'm going to die all the time.
Wow.
I'm like, I can't make a 4-year plan. What if I die?
Yeah.
So that's a fun way to think about life.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that happens in my brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna mark that down for another episode that we
just tick that one off.
Yeah. Okay. So
all right.
Because wait, before we move on.
Yeah,
I remember the first time I ever went to a gym, and I was terrified. I was so scared to go. I thought, it's like it is on TV. It's all big buff guys, and in some places it is.
Yeah.
And it is scary. It's totally scary. Like, I wanted to go for a long time before I went, because I thought, no, I have to be in better shape to even go to the gym. And so when I see somebody that I know other people would mock, I'm inspired by that.
Amen. Work. Yeah. Let the crickets take that one. All right. So for me, another one, super cheesy, but children and animals.
Okay. the fact that you put them together, I find funny. Children and animals. But only adult animals.
But adult animals and human children only.
Fuck baby animals.
Animal children, no.
They
children
suck.
Or animals.
Baby animals, fuck.
Fuck baby animals. Ugh. What? Ugh, the worst.
What inspires you about children and animals?
Okay, so animals, it's a much more simple thing. It's just, like, their purity and their, like, innocence. Like, my dog is just like the sweetest thing in the world, and her need to comfort people and her intuition and stuff like that, like that inspires me. I think it's a sweet thing, and you know, so that's a lot simpler than the children thing. So the children thing is both generational, like the next generation of kids inspires the fuck out of me. Like they're brave, they're badass, they're like, I just am so inspired, and it makes me think that maybe all hope isn't lost. So that helps, because the state of the world is certainly a source of anxiety for me lately. And like my own children, you know, the fact that I have this chance and not, you know, not to, you know, live vicariously through them or anything like that, but I have this chance to teach children something that I wish I knew, or I get this opportunity to witness and to help them along this journey with the knowledge that I've gotten and the knowledge that my mother gave me. And, you know, that inspires me a lot. That helps me to kind of put things in perspective sometimes a little bit too. Like, that's a really big job. And sometimes I don't feel like I'm doing enough work because I don't have a career or I don't have a degree or whatever. And I remind myself of the incredibly important work I'm doing by raising children. And you know, you hear that a lot, and it's almost become a cliche now, you know, about how being a parent is the hardest job and all of this. So I don't think I let that fully sink in sometimes.
Well, that's so, just patriarchal bullshit. It's just more taking something that was traditionally executed by females and undervaluing it.
Right. And it's truly, it's the most difficult thing I've ever done and probably will ever do. It's the most rewarding thing. It's the most inspiring thing. It really is. It helps me more than I can say. There are days that I am just completely in the hole and one of my kids will come up to me and say something sweet or give me a hug, and it pulls me right out, and I'm like, right, got to be better. Got to be better for them. Like, that helps a lot.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I have similarly, I guess, I have Gen Z on my list. They're a little older. They're not little kids, but they're teenagers and stuff. And yeah, I mean, they're creative. They're smart. They're really not very prejudiced. You know, you see, you know, when I was like that age, it was the late 90s, and what was popular was being a slacker and like the idea of apathy and like kind of like being grungy and like not giving a fuck. And these kids, like, their thing is like giving a fuck and like going to protests and like caring and fucking being nice to each other and respecting each other's boundaries and respecting each
other. They're amazing. They are amazing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there are certain things I don't like. I don't like, I've talked about this before, I don't love cancel culture, but, you know, you can't put that all on Gen Z either. And you know, I guess to talk about younger kids, I did one summer, when I was teaching college courses, I used to teach a lot in the summer, but then one summer I didn't have a college course, so to just, like, make extra money, I taught at a tutoring center, and it was the only time I ever, like, taught little kids. And I went into that being scared because I'd never done it before, and like came out like loving it and like being like, I love being around kids. And I was inspired by them. I was inspired the way they talk to each other. I was inspired by their senses of humor. Some little kids, you can tell that they're so smart just by how they're funny.
And and even just what they laugh at.
Right. And to speak to your other thing, animals. The way that I love animals too, and the thing with animals with me is it kind of makes me feel the way you feel about nature and the cosmos, because when I think of animals, it really makes me think like, oh, I'm an animal too.
Right.
And I'm part of this system. I always think about how like our closest relatives are chimpanzees and bonobos, and they're only like fractions of a percent different from us. Like a chimpanzee or a bonobo, I don't know the right way to say it, They're like 98 sure point something percent. By the way, I'm pulling these numbers out of my ass. I'm not a scientist. But they're upwards of like 90-something percent the same as us. And it's like, so we think we're so fucking smart and awesome. And
so
it's like,
fucking special.
Right, and that's only in like a fraction of a percent.
Yep, and we think we are somehow the most important creatures on the earth, and we deserve to be able to structure it in a way that suits us.
Right. Yeah.
The most.
I was driving before, and I saw a deer. There's a lot of deer on Staten Island, and they're so beautiful, and I always feel bad because they are, you know, we have created a world for us and not for other animals, and, like, these deers are, like, in these shitty, dirty woods, or they're, like, they run out in front of cars, and it's just, like...
Yep. It's sad. It's really sad, and we don't need all of it. We don't need it all.
No, we don't have any, you know...
We don't even fucking want it. We think we do. We don't even want this nonsense.
Yeah. So I feel you. I am inspired by younger people. And
yeah.
I'm inspired by the empathy of animals.
Yes.
Because they feel.
They know they're, like, I feel like an inspiration that I take from animals is that they really know their place. In the whole life cycle. You know, they know where they belong and what they're supposed to be doing, and that's what they do.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to look at on the internet is interspecies friendships. Like,
that's the greatest.
I'm like, I love it. Give it to me. A sea lion,
more.
A sea lion and a corgi that are pen pals. Give me more. I love it. Being friends with someone
there's
out of your
more
species.
Pure.
That's the cool. That's why it's so cool to have a dog. It's like, yeah, I have a family here, and one of us is not a Homo sapien, but it's fine. They're still part of this family.
Yep, I love it. It's the best.
Yeah,
it is the best. It's the best thing to be part of a pack.
Absolutely.
I think we forget that, you know, humans are pack animals too. I think we put a lot of emphasis on being self-sufficient, and you know. I think we kind of romanticize being a loner and stuff like that, when in reality we need each other. Everybody needs, you know, you might be a person who needs a larger circle or a smaller circle or whatever, but we all need each other, and we need connection. We need to be able to rely on one another for the things that we lack within ourselves. Like, it's just nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are part of it, even though we wear clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And cook our food or whatever.
And try really fucking hard to be above it. And to master it and to be in control of it.
Right. All right, you go again because...
Okay.
You did kids, but then I jumped on that.
Yeah, okay. So my next one is Iroh inspired.
Yes.
and sometimes the best way to deal with your problems... is to help someone else.
Uh-huh.
And that, I think, is the greatest motivation or inspiration for me, like, as an individual, is to help other people. If I just suffer and I don't share and I don't try to light the way for others or whatever, like, what the fuck is the point?
Right, exactly.
And on days when I feel completely fucking overwhelmed and miserable, I will do something small like pay for someone's coffee in the drive-thru.
Oh.
And just seeing their smile behind me has now made my day better.
See, I can't do that because I'm a guy and people would be like, are you trying to fuck me right now?
Yeah, no, I'm just like, you know, little mom in a minivan. So it's a little different.
I'm just a bald guy licking my lips. I don't know why I'm licking my lips. It's only
of course you
worse.
Are. Yeah, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I can't seem to fucking stop myself.
Why am I rubbing my fingers together? I think that's so true. You know, like, I currently work in human services, and I went into human services because I was going through a really hard time. And I was like, I want to focus my energy on helping other people.
Yeah.
And also, I don't fit into capitalism, so what else am I going to do? I'm a socialist. You know what I mean? What am I going
to do? I don't want to sell anything.
Sell cars? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I could, like, you know, human services is basically the only field I can see myself, like, not vomiting being
agreed.
A part of.
Agreed. Yeah, I think on a grander scale, sometimes helping another person helps me to be more aware of my privileges mm-hmm. and all the, you know, abundance that I have in my life. You know, I struggle, you know, of course I do. We all do. It's fucking America in 2020.
Yeah.
But in the little ways that I can help other people, whether it's with my time, my energy, whatever I can do, I feel much better when I give away.
Yeah.
There's a to be super morbid, there's a song I want played at my funeral, but at the end of the song, it's a loop of her saying, give what you are, what you can, what you give, what you are. Like, so it's
yeah.
give what you can, you are what you give. And that's really just kind of my philosophy about life.
Yeah.
The only things that are going to outlive me are the things that I give away.
That's absolutely true.
So if I can help other people, if I can get out of my own head for a moment enough to be a help, that motivates me, that inspires me, that reassures me of my purpose. I mean, a message that I receive when I meditate often is people need you.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that need me. And I believe that. I believe that there are people who need to hear what I have to say. There are people who need the comfort that I'm able to provide. Like, I have these gifts
yeah.
and, you know, for maybe they don't, you know, help facilitate the most prosperous life in the eyes of capitalism, but they give me a very fulfilling life when it comes to personal connection.
Yeah. Subscribe yeah. to this podcast, everybody.
Yeah. You know, please.
I totally feel for you. It's again, it's connection, right? It's connection.
And that person will remember you fondly. And that's all we can do, is hope to impact the people we interact with in a positive way. I mean, that's, to me, I think the only real meaning you can create.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Is just leaving some sort of positive impact or creating some sort of ripple that, you know, makes somebody's life better or make somebody aware of something they weren't before, or human connection is the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And you can't just be kind when you're feeling good.
No, you need to be kind when you're feeling shitty the most, like that right. you, and it's the hardest, but is the easiest thing really ever the right thing to do? Usually not.
Yeah.
It's very hard to be kind when you're hurting, and it's, you know, it's so much easier to put out more of the energy that you're feeling. It's very, very difficult to consciously decide to change, you know, the energy of what you're going to put forth. If that's what's in you, you yeah. have to make the conscious effort to flip it around before you externalize it, because otherwise you're bringing more of that into the world and attracting more of that to yourself.
No, you're right. So my next one, I can't explain.
Okay. So this will be fun.
Coffee inspires me. Coffee moves me.
All right.
I love coffee. I feel like caffeine addiction is one addiction that is not bad. I feel like...
Now that's one I can get behind.
I feel like it's something that we need that just happens to be outside of our body. There's a theory that you can trace the cultivation of coffee along the lines of, we start to really cultivate coffee and then you see like enlightenment, like the creation of math and science and philosophy. Like, I feel like we would all just be like still cave people if it weren't for coffee.
If it weren't for coffee.
And coffee's just, it makes me think of, okay, so I really like this quote from the Hobbit movie, which is weird because I've never read The Hobbit. I'm not a huge J.R.R. Tolkien fan. This isn't even something that's in the Hobbit book. It's just in the Hobbit movie, which I don't even like that movie that much. But anyway, this quote, I think about it all the time because there's a scene in The Hobbit where Gandalf the wizard is talking to Galadriel, the elf queen lady, and she's like, why did you choose a hobbit to, like, do this important task? And he says, quote, some believe it is only great power that can hold evil in check, but that is not what I have found. I have found that it is the small, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay, small acts of kindness and love.
So beautiful.
So it's the little things. It's a cup of coffee. Have you ever, like, worked with somebody and brought them a cup of coffee in the morning? But like, hey, you know what? I went and got coffee and I thought of you. They love you. That's the greatest thing anyone can do for you. Somebody hands you a cup of coffee. If you hand me a cup of coffee, I love you. You've given me coffee.
Yeah.
That's so important.
I need this. You've recognized my need.
Yeah.
And you've fulfilled it for me.
Yeah. Especially if they know your order. Like, oh, you like cream and three Splenda? Here you go.
It's the best. Like, I have a friend who every time she comes over brings me a coffee and it makes my day.
Oh my God.
Every time she comes over brings me a coffee.
Magical.
Yep.
Or like people who make you coffee. Like, oh. Make you coffee. It's like, oh,
please, yeah.
Please. I'm taking off my panties.
Oof. Oh boy.
Are you grinding your own beans? Hello.
Hello.
So coffee is one of mine. what else you got?
What else I got?
A weird list.
Yeah, it's all over the place. We're all over the place, but hey.
Abstract.
That's Google Bananas.
Concepts like nature itself to specifics like coffee.
Like coffee. Okay. So another one I have on my list is pampering myself.
Treat yourself.
So that helps to motivate me, like taking care of and appreciating and rewarding my physical being, whether that be with like something that's going to take care of my body, like a haircut or a manicure or a massage or something, or, you know, a new coffee mug or whatever. Pampering myself helps me to feel motivated to just exist. It helps give me the will to live. Yeah. And I've struggled with that because I've wanted to not seem superficial or high maintenance or whatever, but I take pleasure in those things. I like to feel good, and it helps give me a reason to continue. When I'm fucking miserable, if what's going to make me happy is buying like a fucking new eyeshadow palette, like I'm going to do it. If it's going to give me the will to get to tomorrow, if it's going to give me 5 to 7 business days of looking forward to my package, and then, you know, 6 days of experimenting with different eyeshadow colors and whatever. That's worth it to me. It's what other fucking point to any of it is there? Like we're here to enjoy things and to love each other and then just die.
I so appreciate the idea of me time.
Yeah.
It's time for me. I was actually saying to my therapist just yesterday, all I really want to do, like on a base level, is play video games and read books. And all I'm ever doing in life is working towards that small goal.
Yeah.
At work, when I'm hanging out with people, when I'm doing chores, it's all because at some point today, I will be done with this and I can play video games for 2 hours.
Right. When I finish this, that's what's waiting for me at the end of it.
Yeah. Like sometimes I get home and I'm like, I'm here. I'm home.
I've made it.
I'm with my stuff. Not in like a materialistic way, but it's like I'm with my chair and my blanket. I'm with my book that, you know, I was reading this magical book and it was a great world to live in last night, but then I had to go to sleep and wake up and go to work and but now I can go back into that world.
Yep. And it's comforting to be surrounded by things that you chose in your space. It's nice to be surrounded by the things that you picked, the things that make you happy, the things that reflect your personality or your desires. Like I love that I have so many books I haven't read. As much as that sometimes overwhelms me and I look at my bookshelf and I'm like, oh my God, you're never going to get through any of this. It also, I guess that could even be another thing on the list, really. My bookshelf gives me hope and inspires and motivates me because it's like, I have so many things to read and to learn about right here in my bedroom.
All right, now I'm looking up a quote from Susan Sontag. My library is an archive of longings.
Ooh, yes. I love that. That's beautiful.
Some people say, don't buy a new book if you've got books you haven't read.
Always buy a new book.
Yeah. You don't have room in your life for that kind of negativity.
Yeah, no, rid your life of people like that immediately.
A book is always a good purchase. It's always a good purchase.
It's a promise to yourself.
It's food for your very soul.
Yeah.
What do you got?
This is my last one, I think. Creating. Turning things into my own art and appreciating them from an outside perspective. That is one of the biggest things that has helped me to find will to exist as myself. So I would think about the way that I support and I love other people.
Yeah.
And how if somebody who looked just like me posted a picture of themselves in a bikini or something, I would be like, you're beautiful. You look amazing. But I would uplift that person and whatever. And externalizing and making art of myself helped me to appreciate myself in a deeper way. So doing things like writing poetry about what I'm experiencing or creating art from what I'm experiencing, or honestly, even something as simple as taking a selfie, helps me step outside myself and look at the thing that I'm experiencing or the thing that I am and see it as worthy and beautiful. And it allows me to be inspired and motivated by myself.
Okay. What's the last thing that you created? Watch yourself.
My dual canvases that I made that were a wolf and a lion.
Because those are two parts of your being?
Yeah. I feel like those animals resonate with me a lot and the symbolism of them. And, you know, so sometimes, whether or not people like or agree with or care about astrology, I'm just going to say because it's relevant. I am a Leo in two of my big three placements in my chart. And my whole life, I've always been kind of told that I come off confident, that I command attention and things like that. And I've always kind of tried to downplay it because of not feeling worthy because of my appearance or worrying about being judged. Or worrying that, you know, somebody wouldn't like my big personality or whatever. So in a lot of ways, painting the lion for me was about embracing that. It was about use these bright colors, paint this lion. And then just because I seek duality in just about everything, I was like, okay, so now let's cater to the other side of that. Let's use cooler colors and let's do the wolf and so just examining these parts of myself and turning it into some sort of art that I can then appreciate from outside. I can look at that canvas and be like, wow, I created that and that's really beautiful. And that's a part of me.
I totally understand that. I mean, in some ways, that's what this podcast is for me. I mean, I have been doing my podcast PCMC for years now. I just edited like the 150th episode. And that's a fun podcast because I talk about movies and TV and video games and stuff like that. And I do come out in that because it is the stuff that I really love. So it's a side of me. But I think what inspired me to go on this journey with you was I was like, I want to speak more openly. I don't want to just talk about Star Wars movies. Like, I want to talk about myself and show like my vulnerability.
And there's so much to be said for being vulnerable and being received well. There is, I mean, I think people sometimes think I'm brave about the things I share on social media and things like that, because I will get vulnerable. But I panic every time I share something. I do. And I say the same little thing in my head. And I, you know, then I hit the post button or whatever, and I hope for the best. And then, you know, it's not always all sunshine and rainbows and whatever, but when you receive positive feedback from people, when you allow yourself to like, okay, this is me, I'm going to cut myself open and I'm going to share something that's difficult. And when you have somebody else say, oh, wow, me too. Or like, that's really beautiful. That really inspires me or whatever. To me, there's no greater high than that. There's no greater high than allowing yourself to be vulnerable and having it be received well, or hearing somebody say, wow, me too.
Right. Because if you are pretending to be something you're not and it impresses people, that doesn't really do anything for you, because you know that that's not really you.
It's superficial. It's base level. If you like my bag, if you like my shoes, that feels nice.
Right.
But if you, you know, like the fact that I'm sharing that I deal with depression every day, and some days it's hard for me to find the will to live, and you're reaching out to me and saying, you know what, me too, and thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
That gives my life meaning.
I totally feel it. I totally get it.
And yeah, this is absolutely an exercise in that. 100% what we're doing here is, hey, you know, you're not alone.
Right.
We all go through shit. We all feel fucking cuckoo bananas at times. Yes. We all, you know, are just trying to do our fucking best and get by.
With my other podcast, I never record and then feel scared of something I said. Mm. I'm never like, oh man, should I have said that about that video game? But after we
should I edit that out?
Right. After we record, sometimes I feel like about the things that I say, not the things you say.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, I said that. I admitted that. I can't.
That's out there.
And like that nervousness is probably not a bad thing.
No, it's actually, it's a very powerful thing. I think it's important. I think it's something we have to do. I think we have to cut ourselves open, because otherwise we're not living authentically, and we're not going to come by, you know, happiness that way. We're not going to feel satisfied, because we're not going to be, you know, being authentic.
Yeah. Well, my last one, I don't know if it even really fits the list, because it's not something that I return to. It was a moment that really inspired me. And sometimes I think about it, but it was a moment in time. And it was one day, at this time I was working in the city. And it was just late in the day. It was a cold, shitty day. And I was getting on a train. I was going to take the train to another train to go home. And it was cold. And it was just a New York subway. And a lot of subways have performers playing music, singing, kids breakdancing, whatever. And sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes everyone ignores it. Sometimes people kind of give it like a tepid, like, yay, clap, clap, here's a dollar. But this fucking guy on this day was playing the guitar and singing Hallelujah.
Oh.
And everybody in the subway felt it. Like, it was a magical moment.
That's beautiful.
You know, because that song is so, like, and this guy was, like, giving it his all, like, the giant fall, the major lift, the battle, and just, like, everyone felt it, and then, Hallelujah, and this wasn't that long after, the current president was elected.
Womp, womp.
And remember, after he was elected, I think Kate McKinnon played Hallelujah on SNL.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it has that weird connotation now of, like, we're gonna get by. And, like, I've talked about how I'm not a big music guy, but, like, that's probably the best musical moment of my life. Like that was a moment where I felt the transcendence of music. Because that song is just so, like, desperate.
Yeah.
That was a big moment. That, like, gave me life, as the kids say.
Yeah, that's a beautiful moment. I feel like there are a lot of musical moments like that for me, but I'm also inclined to feel that way when it comes to music. But I think music as a language connects people in a way that nothing else does.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way about coffee.
Hence making the list.
Yeah. Coffee is the music of my heart.
You should let Gloria Estefan and NSYNC know. They're going to need to make some adjustments.
Well, this has been a beautiful episode. We
did it. I feel good. We gone done and did it again.
We did it again. Yeah, this podcast is available anywhere podcasts are found. If you like what you've heard, go ahead and share us with someone that you think would like hearing us. And give the gift of cuckoo bananas.
Show someone you care. Yeah. With the gift of cuckoo bananas.
Yep. I'm Mike Bongiorno. That's Kate Gainey over yonder.
Sure is.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.